Welcome to Catholic Dad Show. My name's Chris.
And I'm Matt Rice, and we're just a couple of Catholic dads trying to do the best we can with what God has entrusted to us. And sometimes we just do a little too much.
We believe that Catholic fatherhood is and will change the world. So let's go ahead and dive on in. Matt, I have a pastor friend of mine who would sometimes see his team kind of getting gray hair from the ministry work they were doing. And he would say, it seems like you need a snorkel because you're underwater. What equipment would you need right now? Some scuba gear? Like, what's going on?
It definitely feels like it's scuba gear because I look at all the things that are not getting done that need to get done. Like even like my defensive driving that I should have had done before Monday for the ticket that I wanted dismissed did not get done. So yeah, snorkel gear at least, scuba gear, maybe one of those deep sea subs. I don't know.
You could just drown.
Yeah, I could just drown. Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's a little much. And so that's one of the reasons why we wanted to talk about this today is, and for me personally, I don't know about Chris, I typically like think about things that I'm experiencing in the moment before this episode, before our shows, before we record. And I'm like, you know what? What I'm experiencing right now would actually be a really good thing to talk about because I have a feeling I'm not the only dad that does this.
Yes. Yeah. So Chris doesn't, apparently. I have been in over my head ever since we had our second child. So that's where I'm at. You're just like, holy cow. But in regards to that element, just to clarify, like the kind of zombie parenting mode or just kind of being overwhelmed, there's grace that comes from the gift of that. But when we choose to go into the fire, sometimes it feels like we're more in over our head when we are going on our own accord and not necessarily from God's accord. But there's also, I think, seasons where God calls us into the deep and like there's a requirement that we're dependent on him in those moments. So do you feel like you're in over your head because you're responding to a calling or because you maybe bit off more than you could chew? Or is it like some weird combo of both where it's like, yes, I'm responding to a calling, but at the same time, I'm in over my head?
I think it's definitely a combination because I think it's the way that I've gone about doing some of this has been very Matt dependent instead of depending on other people or even hiring other people. You know, there's no doubt that I could have called in, you know, some volunteers to help. So just so everybody knows, like the biggest thing that pushed me, you know, over my head is this remodel project that we have going on at the Ablaze office. So we started doing a new ministry, new-ish ministry out of our office that required us to change the way our space is laid out. To effectively serve the population that we're serving, we needed to make some changes.
Stop! You guys, there's what? Amazing things happening. Like,
yeah.
We started handing out tacos to do outreach to teens. There's a middle school that's just across the street from the main office, and like, God has blown up that ministry.
Yeah.
Like, how many teens do we have coming?
Like, on 250 kids we see in a day.
In a day. This is Taco Tuesday, and these are kids that might not otherwise even encounter any elements of Christ or Christian charity on a regular basis. This is every Tuesday.
We did the math and we literally see like 20% of the students. We have seen 20% of that school.
That specific school. Yeah.
And so crazy. Anyway.
And so our office was not built for that. And so Matt's like, well, we love these young people and we're called to serve these young people. And if the fire marshal stopped by, we wouldn't be able to do either. So let's change the office to be more welcoming. And that's what started this project, which began just before spring break. And then Matt went and took his family camping during spring break.
Let's go back a little bit.
I'm showcasing the hole you dug. It's beautiful.
Oh yeah. It's a massive hole. So we had all this discernment, you know, beforehand because the window of time that we had, because we didn't want to stop doing the ministry. And it's a weekly ministry right now. It's not daily. It will grow to daily. But we had spring break to do the work. Well, the ministry is on a Tuesday. And so then we could start Wednesday before spring break. And then we had to be done Monday after spring break. So literally, it was like 9 business days or something like that. and 2 weekends. And one of those weeks was spring break. And during spring break, my wife was gone to Guatemala on a medical mission trip. And so I said, I don't want to just sit around the house with the kids. And this was before this whole remodel project. I was like, I don't want to just sit around the house with the kids and stare at screens. Let's go camping. And so I called my mom, and so we planned a camping trip. And then this remodel project happened, and I was like, well, I can't cancel the camping trip. That would be a really bad dad move. So then it was like, okay, well, I can do this while I'm away. I'll get everything that I can get done, you know, to prep everything before we leave. And then the contractors will come in, you know, the week that I'm gone, and I'll coordinate via phone, whatever. So that project is the biggest thing that I added to my plate that is kicking my butt. And it's because there are things that I want to do that we can't afford to do it, to contract everything out. That's just the way it is. Like we're a ministry. There's some of this stuff we just have to get in there and get our elbows, you know, our elbow grease in there or whatever and get at it. And so the flooring is the biggest pain. I have been up here for, I don't even want to count the number of hours that I've spent scraping this floor because it was carpet first and we can't afford to put flooring in. So I need to get the floor ready to either be painted or just to open bare concrete. And by the time I get it ready to paint it, it's like, it's so close to bare concrete. Let's just do bare concrete.
Yeah.
Anyway. So, in the meantime, I actually like got my wife to Guatemala, got her back, got my kids to camping. We had a great camping trip, got them back. Everybody's alive. Everybody's safe. I did miss my deadline for the defensive driving. So now that ticket's not going to be dismissed. I'm going to have to just go to the courthouse and pay it now. And then I've got, you know, financial stuff to do for my wife's business that I haven't done in a while. I've got medical stuff with our health share that I haven't done that I need to do. And there's a whole pile of stuff.
A backlog just, that's about to burst.
Oh, yeah. And it's like the dam is like about to break. You know, and I can't, and then we've got like a Blaze has our benefit dinner next Thursday.
Yeah.
You know, so I've got a whole lot to do between now and then.
Right.
Anyway, so I we've established Matt is in over his head. How did I find out? How did I learn when I was in over my head? Like when did it finally hit me? And I think it was probably, I guess it would have been Friday of last week, was when it really first hit. Because the painters and the drywall guys, you know, weren't able to get done as fast as I wanted them to. And then the plumbers didn't either or whatever. And so then I'm committing more time that I didn't want to commit to this project. Time that I had like meant to do other stuff with.
Or had to do other stuff with.
Yeah. Exactly. You know, and so it was when balls started dropping. You know, that I noticed it. And like, I probably should have noticed it sooner. Honestly, like if I look back and think about it, even though I was camping and I'm sleeping, you know, on the ground or, you know, on a air mattress that deflates.
Nice.
I slept horribly. And it was just this anxiety, you know, that I had about that whole project, about all of that.
Yeah.
That was probably the indicator for me. When I was in over my head, when I wasn't sleeping well and I was anxious and I had a short fuse, a short temper, you know, with my kids.
Okay. So it did start manifesting itself through behavior because that anxiety was affecting your sleep, your health, things like that.
Absolutely.
Has anyone pointed it out to you? Like, Matt, you're in over your head.
Well, so like when that was going on, everybody that would have done that was not around me. You know, so I was on vacation. So yeah. My mom, you know, my mom did mention, she's like, you seem a little stressed. You know, let me take the kids today. You take a nap, you know? And then, you know, my wife pointed out, yeah, like this morning, you know, she's like, you know, we need to have someone else do this, you know, because you need to be done, you know, with this project or whatever.
We need you back. Yeah.
We need you back. The family needs you back. And so, yeah, anxiety, you know, and, you know, yeah, just little indicators from the people around me, for sure,
What about on a spiritual level? How's it all been going?
That's probably one of the other big indicators, is that my personal prayer time has suffered. You know, I've sacrificed that for the time needed to get this stuff done, you know?
Yeah.
So my personal prayer time is abbreviated, and like, it's not when I normally would do it. So even when we were camping, I did it, you know, late at night when the kids all went to bed by the campfire, you know?
Yeah. So I just want to acknowledge there's a couple of things. Like, dads, it's okay if your Xbox misses you, or if Netflix misses you, or if you miss a little bit of sleep every now and then because you're leaning in, you're surging for these things. But when all of a sudden your family starts to miss you, or your prayer time starts to miss you, and a lot of times these things come where you're in over your head because of a work project or something like that. And typically it's a season that has a deadline, that has a finish line and things like that. But for Matt, the goalposts really got moved in regards to this game. And believe it or not, it was because contractors didn't deliver in the way that they said they were going to. Boy, I did not see this one coming, Matt. I'm shocked. I just know their reputation is always on time, always prepared. So I know how blindsided you might feel right now. But there's a reality to where it's like, okay, crud, I'm in over my head. And I've done it before. Like, I'm out there and I'm like, I've coached soccer before. This won't be a problem, blah, 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 blah. And then I get out there and none of the parents wanted to help me coach soccer. None. Yep. And this is like the 4 and 5 year old team. And these kids are like, you know, like rabid dogs just running around, just like going crazy. Right. And so, and the drills that I know are for people who know how to play soccer a little bit. These kids didn't even know.
Beginners.
It's like, oh my gosh, I forgot to tell them which direction to kick the ball towards. Like, we lost our first game, but we still scored goals and ended up with a score of 0 because we kicked it into the wrong goal and they celebrated, you know? And so I was like, I'm in over my head. Like, I'm clearly not cut out for this. And then I did some research and then turned up the screws on, or turned up the heat in regards to, practice will not happen unless I have a practice parent. I stopped calling it assistant coach. I called it a practice parent, which is assistant to the coach. And then we finally got a mom who had to push a stroller out there because she had a 3-month-old volunteer to be the practice parent while the other parents sat in lawn chairs and watched the practice. Matt, it was crazy. And I was clearly in over my head. But that was just 2 frustrating hours a week. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. Yep. This is something that has consumed and bled into other areas. And that's more the overwhelm that we're talking about today. Yep. That is how you know you're in over your head. It will tell you.
Yeah. And one of the things that Chris and I were talking about before we started recording is it's good to do this ever so often. Because you realize what your capacity is and what it isn't. You realize both. Like you mentioned, even the second kid, like people like say that all the time. I don't know how you do it with 6 kids. I can barely handle 2. And it's like, well, you just don't realize how capable you are.
Right.
You know, because you haven't tried, you haven't tested yourself. You haven't pushed yourself.
Yeah.
And you haven't realized how, I don't know, creative you can be with your time and all these other things, all your resources. And so that's the beautiful thing about pushing yourself like this is like, wow, I really got a crap load done in 2 weeks. You know, like for us to have this project, I mean, we were ready. Like other than the floor being like not complete,
yeah,
we were done with a pretty big remodel project in 9 business days.
Yeah.
That was, that's an amazing feat, you know, and it's not like we're like the fixer upper. Is it fixer upper? Is that the one that where they
flip it real quick?
No, the greatest. Yeah. Home makeover or whatever. Great home
move
makeover.
Move that bus. Whatever show that
they
is.
Do it in
move
like a
the
week.
Bus one. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Move the bus. Yeah. We're not quite at that level, you know, but for me, you know, who's not a general contractor or whatever, I'm happy with myself.
Yeah.
Like I pushed myself in that way, but I am over my head, in over my head. And so I think that it's good periodically to push yourself. If you don't get to a point like this, I don't know, like at least once every few years, or I mean, I would probably say once a year, but Chris wouldn't. But the then I don't think you're, I don't know, stretching yourself like you should be. So is this where we break into the analogy?
Well, here, no. Chris, so there was this, let me just tell a story. I'm listening to this podcast, and there's a guy that had a Navy SEAL come and stay with him for like a month or something like that. I forget the whole context, but he was a fit guy, and he's like, I'll do a workout with a Navy SEAL. And he's like, okay, I can do 10 pull-ups, but I want to get to the point to where I can do 100 pull-ups. And the Navy SEAL took a chair and set it in front of the door. So he's now in the workout room, and he sat down in a chair, and he said, then just do the 100 pull-ups. And he's like, no, I can only do 10. He's like, we're not leaving this room till you do 100. You can do 100. And he's like, 2.5 hours later, I hit my 100th pull-up.
Wow.
He's like, I got to the point to where I was doing, I did 10, then took a 10-minute break, then did another 10, then took a 10-minute break, and then could only do 9, and then 6. And then, you know, like, and so he's taking these breaks, and he finally is like, 99, take a 5-minute break and come, and he does the 100th. But he did it. You see, we are capable of more than we believe, and sometimes moments like this reveal those, that capacity, right? Yep. And combine that, especially in situations like the newborn, especially in situations where it's family, and believe it or not, your job is a way that you provide and protect your family. And so like God gives you grace in those moments, why not turn it up to see what dependence on him truly looks like every now and then? Because I get frustrated sometimes when people are so like protective of like this work-life balance thing and all these different pieces, and there's prudence and things like that. But I believe that there's also something innate about men to where it's like we have to go and fiercely journey into the jungle to see what we can kill, not just to prove that we can kill something, but to prove to ourselves that we can go into the jungle. Like that's part of it. And so at times it is, I would argue, almost healthy to find ourselves in situations similar to yours. Yes. I don't know the same, but similar to yours. That's how we grow.
Yeah, I agree. And if it's something that's constant, it's unhealthy. If you're constantly working 80-hour weeks, and it's the norm for your family not to see you, I think that's unhealthy. That's too much. Now there are, you know, like I say that, as I say it, I know that I'm speaking from a place of privilege, to be honest, because I don't have to work 80 hours a week just to feed my family.
Right.
You know, there like some people do have to do that, and there's no choice.
Yep.
There's no shame in that. Like there's no like that. That's a reality. You know, that's there.
But some people would surge for the sake of surging as well. I would argue to make sure it's a noble cause. So I think providing for your family is a noble cause. I think this ministry kind of remodel is a noble cause. But if someone is like, dude, let's do a Lord of the Rings marathon. And just one afternoon we get together and we'll finish the movies by like 3 a.m. We could do it. I'd be like, we can't be friends. Like I love Lord of the Rings, but I don't want to watch 14 hours of movies. Like that's not prudent, even though it would be like an overwhelmingly like, let's see if we can do it, like a white knuckle type of thing. Like there's certain things to where it's like, no, it's okay if you're driving up to Colorado or driving, you know, across 3 state lines to get a hotel halfway through the drive. So you're not driving a 17-hour drive with your family just to see if you can do it, because then you're a wreck once you get to the destination.
And that's a really good example, because having done that, like one, it's unsafe, you know, but for me, like I think about it, it's like I really just don't want to get the kids out of the car, and I don't want to like get all the stuff out of the car that we need in the hotel room, and then like be in the hotel room, whatever. It's the struggle, like, and then it's like I'll just do it, but then it's like I'm falling asleep at the wheel.
I'm
making my wife stay up later than she would have stayed up to keep me awake.
Yeah.
You know, and then I drink enough caffeine that when we finally get to where we're going, even though it's 4 a.m, I can't go to sleep.
And
so then my whole next day is wasted.
Mid-90s ska can only keep you awake for so long. Because we've driven that drive together
back from
a conference. And you're like, Chris, I'm spent. And so we're listening to this mid-90s ska and Matt's falling asleep. And I'm like, Matt, I need you to talk to me.
just so that I know you're alive.
Yeah, yeah. Well, so I stay alive.
Because we had switched. Yeah.
So I just want to remove the stigma. It's okay to find yourself in over your head at times. Yeah. And we would argue that there might even be times or seasons where it's healthy to kick the tires on yourself to make sure that you can still, whatever analogy, get the engine up to full throttle or whatever. So
yeah, and that discernment, like with your spouse, like even like we were talking about having a kid, having the next kid, another kid, like, honey, are we ready to be stretched? You know, are we ready to stretch ourselves to like or whatever? In taking on that next project or whatever it is with your wife, that's a period of discernment. The same kind of thing with regards to this project. Ablaze, like we went through like a big period of discernment. What we didn't do was, I don't know, we went very frugally into it, which forced me to do a lot more of the work.
Yeah.
If I'd gone into it with a bigger budget, I wouldn't be overwhelmed. I could have contracted out like one or two more trades. Cause I basically took on two of the trades.
Yeah.
And I can't do that. You know, so that's one of the things as far as planning goes is make sure you budget accordingly so that you're not doing more than you should be doing. And budgeting time and budgeting money are both of them, you know, but does that make sense?
Yeah. And one thing I do, because sometimes there's this season of travel, especially when I'm doing Lenten missions or helping lead retreats and then our offsites for our team and stuff like that. Sometimes they land back to back to where it's like, wow, I was home 2 evenings in the last 8 days.
Yeah.
I'll typically say, okay, family, we're going out to dinner. It gives my wife a break and it gives our family a chance to be all together because she is back here being overwhelmed by my absence as well. So the overwhelm kind of has a domino effect. Your wife and your family right now are like, we need you back, Matt. Why?
Yep.
Well, someone has to bathe the little one or whatever it is, or do the taxes or whatever.
I should never ask why. Yeah. You should never ask that question.
No.
Because you're my husband and you're their father.
Yeah.
That's it.
but there is an element of like a little bit of money or a little bit of special time can make up for a little bit of it, but it doesn't cover all the things. And so- So then what do you do? One, Matt, when we started, you're like, I feel like I need to apologize to everyone.
Yeah. Not just my family, but everyone that I work with, you know.
But I think that is actually part of what I would say is the first thing you should do is acknowledge.
Yeah.
Acknowledge. And an apology could be an acknowledgement, but it also acknowledges to yourself like, whoa, I am in over my head. So, okay, I'm in over my head. Now what? Is there a timeline? Like, sweetheart, thank you. 3 more days and this project will be wrapped up. 3 more days. But for some people, it's like 3 more years and we'll finally have enough saved up to do this or to do that. And it's like, but right now I got to work 2 jobs. Like there are some people, like you said, coming from a place of privilege, some people that just don't have a lot of options in regards to it. But it's like 2 more years and I'll get my associate degree and then I'll get a better job and then I won't have to work all this stuff. Like there's ways. So to acknowledge it, sometimes that includes an apology. And then the second is to look for the light at the end of the tunnel. When is the timeline going to end? And in your case, what can we do to accelerate that timeline? So does it mean that we contract out? One thing I think that you can do at this point is just say, it's not going to get done as quickly as I wanted it to. And I think that's the monkey on your shoulder is it was supposed to be finished. It was supposed to be finished. Give yourself say it's going to be done before Easter. Yeah. Now that timeline all of a sudden gives you that thing to be like, okay, now we have a little bit of time to do those things. Kids can eat tacos on dirty floors. I mean,
a sticky floor.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. And like the other thing is looking at, because even like this morning, you know, before coming in to record this episode, there were a lot of things that I could have done. And it was like, I picked up something to do and I was like, that does not need to be done right now. Put it down. Picked up something else to do. That does not need to be done right now. Put that down. You know, there were small things that I could do, like put doorknobs on. You know, like that was a real quick project and I couldn't do other stuff this morning because it would have taken longer, you know, than to do that. And even like work stuff I couldn't do. I've got the deposit to do and I don't have, there was not time to do that earlier. So there's other things that like in my life that might need to just drop off. Right. You know, might need to just, I just can't do that right now. You know, whether, and it may be video games. It may be like something, and maybe something important, you know, but there are some things that are very important that cannot come off.
Right.
You know? And so, and making sure that when you figure out what that is, that those that are affected by that understand that or know what it is. Does that make sense?
Right. And so that would be, so it's one of the tips that is recommended is that prioritize what must be done versus what could be done.
Yeah.
And so that's what you're talking about. Yep. But the other one is to take a breath, right? And so that gives you perspective. And so even if you're just like, I'm going to take 5 minutes every hour just to step away from my computer, step away from the project and take a few breaths. Yep. To be able to see what does it look like for me to pace myself? What does it look like? What are elements that I see that I'm like, oh, someone else could be doing this and they're just sitting over there waiting for a task to do, or this person would actually be better at doing this. How do we do that? Or take 5 minutes to go cry in the bathroom. I don't know.
Yeah.
But you need to regain that perspective. But in the midst of the storm, it's hard to do that. And we can control the storm. We can.
Yeah.
Jesus can too, in a literal sense. Figuratively, we can control the storm and step away and say, okay, I get a 15-minute lunch break. I'm going to scarf down this food and take 3 minutes of a personal retreat, just a 3-minute retreat, and do that. So,
yep. Yep.
Okay. Some of the other ones are like, get friends in your life to talk about, like to process it and to kind of, I don't know, kind of vent or like, help just someone else. So you're not going at it alone.
Well, yeah. Like even like admitting it, like when I suggested this topic today, admitting it to you that I'm in over my head, you know, like that's a huge thing. And that may be kind of what this is talking about, like talking to someone else about it, you know, and sharing it with someone and not necessarily being embarrassed by it.
Right.
It happens, you know, all of us do this at some point.
And then know when it's time to stop. And so like you could literally, we could light a match and burn the building to the ground if the alternative was you finishing the building and losing your marriage.
Yeah.
Do you see what I'm saying? Like it would be time to walk away from the building before you walk away from your marriage or your family. You know what I mean? Yep. Like there's certain things to where it's like, and you see that like in the movie Elf or in these different, kid movies that we saw growing up where it's like, dad's really busy at work. But dad, I want you to spend time with me. And then like Christmas is coming and a big meeting is going to happen, but it's Christmas. I don't know if I can make the meeting. And then it ends with the kid being like, but dad, and the dad's like, well, then you can take this job and shove it up your face, you know, or whatever. And then they go have a happy Christmas together. Like he chose family over job. And that's like the end of every like late 90s
Hallmark movie.
Yeah, family movie ever, you know, or whatever. But there's wisdom in that to where it's like there are things more important than whatever it is that's overwhelming you. So salvation of your soul and the salvation of other souls is more important, and kids need their dad.
Yep. So, awesome. Any other tips from there, or are we ready to close it out?
There was just one that I wanted to acknowledge, and it says learn time management. I feel like it's the most demeaning one. It's like, oh, you're overwhelmed? Don't be overwhelmed. Oh, man.
Don't do it.
You're struggling with depression. Have you considered not being depressed? It's like, forget you, man. Forget you. So I'm just going to acknowledge that one. Not all advice is good advice, and that's okay. In the midst of the storm, sometimes people are like, well, have you considered not being in a storm? And you're just like, ah, I'm already there, man. I'm already there. So
not helpful.
Yeah. Be patient with yourself, guys. What about you, Matt? Closing thoughts?
No, I think that's it. I mean, it's a season. This too will pass.
Yeah. So. Good. Well, we're going to go ahead and close with a prayer like we do every time. And Matt, would you like me to lead it since you're a little overwhelmed?
Please.
All right. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Catholic men, join me. Jesus, we love you. And we invite you into our life under the title Prince of Peace. Help us to steward our gifts in a way that builds your kingdom. And in moments where we surge or where more or extra is required of us, increase our capacity to receive your grace. Amen.
Amen. In the name
of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.
Awesome. Quick question for those of y'all that are still watching. I'd really like to know your opinion on this. When we pray on a video, should we have our eyes open or closed? Because I've done both. You know, it's like, this is YouTube. Like, the eye contact is a good thing. But it's prayer. I typically close my eyes when I pray. So comment below if you actually made it this way. Eyes open, eyes closed. I really want to know.
If you're following this and you're listening to this in the podcast form and you're driving, I'd recommend you keep your eyes open.
Please.
Or if you're running, keep your eyes open. Hey, we'd also love you guys to hit this with a like, a share, and then subscribe. Do all the things that help increase our visibility so that this message, this ministry can continue to extend both into your world and your community, but also to the ends of the earth. That would overwhelm us with your love.
Oh, on that note.
Thank you guys so much for joining us. We'll see you. Bye.